Right now on VFN TV, the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, is speaking at Harvard University, a university that he actually quit before he founded Facebook with over 1 billion people on it. And he's talking about a global world community. He's talking about replacing everybody's job with robots. He's talking about a one world, possibly a government. What is this? Also, we're going to hear about this artificial intelligence because it's all about technology. Elon Musk is speaking to the governors of America at the National Governors Association, telling the governors, you don't even understand what's going on. You need to get insight, because if you get insight, you should be terribly afraid, and you should be, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group run off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall, and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed, not with Donald J. Trump.
Is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land, and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. This is an amazing program. You need to really pay close attention, because we're looking at people who are part of the leaders of technology and artificial intelligence and automation that are on the cutting edge right now of replacing maybe your jobs, maybe your son's jobs, your daughter's jobs, replacing the way we do everything, really, even communities. As a matter of fact, Mark Zuckerberg, he was attending. He's the founder of Facebook. Over a billion users across the world use Facebook. He's, you know, very wealthy. And everybody's sharing their life on this thing called Facebook, the social media program, if you would. And he said a couple years back, in 5 years, that Facebook would be smarter than a human being. Well, believe me, the way things are moving so rapidly right now with technology, these things have happened. We'll be talking about that in our program. But first, let's join him at Harvard. He's given the commencement speech at Harvard, and we're going to listen to what he's saying, because he's built a great company. He is building types of community, but we need to understand, as the church, as Christians, what does this mean to us, and how does this fit because we're going to talk about one world economy, one community, how important our walls are, how important our Constitution is, and nationalism. Is it bad or is it good? Because he says it's not a good thing when he talks. As a matter of fact, let's join Mark Zuckerberg at Harvard University, the commencement speech just the other day. Let's go there now.
I'm here to tell you that finding your purpose isn't enough. The challenge for our generation is to create a world where everyone has a sense of purpose. One of my favorite stories is when JFK went to go visit the NASA Space Center and he saw a janitor holding a broom and he asked him what he was doing, and the janitor replied, "Mr. President, I'm helping put a man on the moon." Purpose is that feeling that you are a part of something bigger than yourself, that you are needed, and that you have something better ahead to work for. Purpose is what creates true happiness. And you are graduating at a time when this is especially important. When our parents graduated, that sense of purpose reliably came from your job, your church, your community. But today, technology and automation are eliminating many jobs. Membership in a lot of communities has been declining, and a lot of people are feeling disconnected and depressed and are trying to fill a void in their lives. As I've traveled around, I've sat with children in juvenile detention and opioid addicts who've told me that maybe their lives would have turned out differently if they just had something to do, an after-school program or somewhere to go. I've met factory workers who know their old jobs aren't coming back and are just trying to find their path ahead. For our society to keep moving forward, we have a generational challenge to not only create new jobs, but create a renewed sense of purpose. A change in the world that seems so clear that you are sure someone else is going to do it. But they're not. You will. But it's not enough to have that purpose yourself. You also have to create a sense of purpose for others. And I found that out the hard way. You see, my hope was never to build a company. I wanted to have an impact. And as all these people started joining us, I just assumed that that's what they wanted to do too. So I never took the time to explain what it was that I hoped we'd build. A couple years in, some big companies wanted to buy us. I didn't want to sell. I wanted to see if we could connect more people. And we were building the first version of Newsfeed at the time, and I thought, if we could just launch this, it could change how we all learn about the world. Nearly everyone else wanted to sell. Without a sense of higher purpose, this was their startup dream come true, and it tore our company apart. After one particularly tense argument, one of my close advisors told me if I didn't agree to sell the company right now, I would regret that decision for the rest of my life. Relationships were so frayed that within a year or so, every single person on our management team was gone. That was my hardest time leading Facebook. I believed in what we were doing, but I felt alone. And worse, it was my fault. I wondered if I was just wrong, an imposter, a 22-year-old kid who had no idea how things actually worked. Now, years later, I understand that that is how things work when there's no sense of higher purpose. So it's up to all of us to create it so we can all keep moving forward together.
This is so, I think it was really encouraging. A 22-year-old man started a company. He dropped out of Harvard. He's back speaking at Harvard. Now, of course, he's not 22. It's a huge multi-billion-dollar company. And people are connected with it, and they're sharing their personal life, and he's gathering all this data, and it just seems really... like, wow, this is so exciting, and it really is kind of innovative and all. But think about this. What are they doing with all this information? Because it doesn't go away. If they collected something on you yesterday, and then they collect something else on you tomorrow, what's collected tomorrow adds to what's on today, and then all the information builds up and builds up and builds up. And they use what's artificial intelligence using that information. As a matter of fact, Elon Musk, because we're going to continue with this Harvard commencement address because he talks and breaks it down a little bit. We want to hear first from Elon Musk when he said the National Governors Association just the other day And he's saying, governors, you do not understand how serious this artificial intelligence is. You need to get insight. And when you do, you'll be afraid. He talks about how this information that they're gathering, and, you know, you'll hear a little bit Mark Zuckerberg talk about, you know, we really don't know what's going to actually happen, but you got to get going before you happen. If you, you know, we know what's going to happen prophetically. When you start building a one world government, a one world community, and one world economy, you're looking at end time fulfillment of prophecy, and the adversary is going to use that. But let's go listen to Elon Musk himself, the one who actually was co-founder of PayPal, which is people where people transfer money and pay for things, the one that founded SpaceX and has taken over a lot of the transportation to space. He has created the first battery-operated car, Tesla. I mean, this is a man who knows a lot about what young man Mark Zuckerberg is talking about, and he says we should be very afraid of this. It can even start a war. Let's check it out. This is Elon Musk at the National Governors Association speaking to your governor, all the governors of America, just the other day.
To a group of leaders, what would you advise that we should, how should we be addressing something that's such a large landscape and yet obviously so important?
I think that the, you know, one of the roles of government is to ensure the public good, that dangers to the public are addressed. So that, hence the regulatory thing. I think the first order of business would be to try to learn as much as possible, you know, to understand the nature of the issues, to look closely at the progress that is being made, and the remarkable achievements of artificial intelligence. I mean, last year, Go, which is quite a difficult game to beat, that people thought would never be beaten with by a computer, that a computer would either never beat the best human player or that it was 20 years away. And last year, AlphaGo, which was done by DeepMind, which is a kind of a Google subsidiary, absolutely crushed the world's best player. And now it can crush, it can play at the top 50 simultaneously and crush them all. So, just like that pace of progress is remarkable. And you can see more and more coming out. I think the robotics, you can see robots that can learn to walk from nothing, you know, within hours. Like way faster than any biological being. But the thing that's most dangerous is, and it's the hardest to kind of wrap, kind of get your arms around because it's not a physical thing, is kind of a deep intelligence in the network. He said, well, what harm could a deep intelligence in the network do? So, well, it could start a war by doing fake news and spoofing email accounts and fake press releases and just by, you know, manipulating information. The pen is mightier than the sword. I mean, as an example, I want to emphasize, I do not think this actually occurred. This is purely a hypothetical that I do. I'm digging my grave here. but you know that, like that, there was that second Malaysian airliner that was shot down on the Ukrainian-Russian border, and that really amplified tensions between Russia and the EU in a massive way. Well, like let's say if you had an AI that was where the AI's goal was to maximize the value of a portfolio of stocks. One of the ways to maximize value would be to go long on defense, short on consumer, start a war. And then how could it do that? Well, you know, hack into the Malaysian Airlines aircraft routing server, route it over a war zone, then send an anonymous tip that an enemy aircraft is flying overhead right now.
So you think about that. You know, Mark Zuckerberg, just exciting. He's a young guy. He's excited about, you know, his company and building community, and we just want friends, and it's just called Facebook, and just, but you're gathering all this data, and it's literally his statement is that Facebook will be smarter than a human being because humans are actually putting all their data in there, and what Elon Musk is saying, they're going to use that data, and they're going to be able to use it to their benefit, and even something as simple as, you know, if you want to make money in the stocks, tell the computer you want to make money in the stocks. All of a sudden, since it's artificial intelligence, it starts writing news articles and putting out fake news. It starts spoofing people's email and sending emails to generals and to the DNC or the GOP and saying these terrible things are happening. And all of a sudden, they tap into the server for Malaysian Airlines and find out what the flight pattern is, and then they No, it's going to be over a certain country at this certain time, and those generals are going to be down there, and they just send fake news and say, that's a bad guy in that plane. And it didn't happen, he says, but this is how it can happen. So I'm excited about, you know, where we are with technology, but we need to regulate it, and that's what Elon Musk is saying. But the governors don't even know how to regulate it. As a matter of fact, if we get back from this break, we're going to hear some more as Mark Zuckerberg breaks it down, the founder of Facebook, what he's talking about, because he's basically saying 25% of... In the last couple of decades, community groups, including churches, have fallen by 25%. And he wants to replace that with building communities on Facebook. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area that will focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. And this is amazing, isn't it, John? When you think about this artificial intelligence, and we're about to continue to hear Mark Zuckerberg,
yes,
the founder of Facebook. You know, at a young age, he started it when he was in Harvard. That's why he dropped out of Harvard. And now he's back speaking at Harvard. And it just seems so innocent. And so, but when you look at what they're doing with the data
of over 1 billion people. I
mean, one-seventh of the world's population is feeding in data on a daily basis of what's going on. And
absolutely,
he said that Facebook would be smarter than a human being. Well, DeepThink, which is a subsidiary
of Google,
they've mastered it way even more than Facebook.
And Ray Kurzweil,
how to build a brain. And so these things are happening, and we'll talk, you know, prophetically and biblically what this means. But first, I want you to hear one thing. You know, Governor Ducey of Arizona, he's asking Elon Musk then about, well, how do we regulate something that we don't even see compared to earlier? We don't have that part where he's talking about gas. You know, you can't see gas and you can't smell gas, but
can't
if we regulate
gas,
it,
right.
Then you wouldn't have gas. And it's like, no, this is not like that. This actually, his statement was that this is going to affect the fundamentals of mankind all together. And so listen to Governor Ducey of Arizona talk about this and what he says to Elon Musk and what Elon Musk says to him and to all of our governors. And the one thing I want you to listen for, he says, once you get insight, once you become aware of this, you're going to be afraid, and you should be. Let's join at the National Governors Association. Elon Musk, founder of Tesla, SpaceX, and co-founder of PayPal, talking to Governor Ducey of Arizona, and talking about artificial intelligence and regulation. Listen up.
So you've given some of these examples of how AI can be an existential threat, but I still don't understand, as policymakers, what type of regulations beyond slow down, which typically policymakers don't get in front of entrepreneurs or innovators.
Well, I think the first order of business would be to gain insight. Right now, the government does not even have insight. I think the right order of business would be to stand up a regulatory agency, initial goal, gain insight into the status of AI activity, make sure the situation is understood. Once it is, then put regulations in place to ensure public safety. That's it. I think once there is awareness, people will be extremely afraid, as they should be.
Once there's an understanding, an awareness of artificial intelligence that presently is, and the governors aren't, based on what they're saying there, he says, then you will be afraid, and rightfully so. You should be afraid. And this thing is happening so quickly and so rapidly. Some of the statements I heard Glenn Beck talk about this, he said he was in Silicon Valley talking to some of these tech guys, and their concern is that the people that are going to lose all their jobs and all their you know, over to technology, they're going to come with pitchforks and torches to Silicon Valley. That's what they're saying that they're scared of, that would happen.
Well, think about what's happening with 5G, and we shared about it on the program about building this global brain. Yeah. I mean, we're so close to this.
Right.
And yet our politicians don't have the information. They're not aware of what's coming.
It's faster. It's faster than you can think. I mean, it's a sign of the times. You know, information is moving quicker. But the thing about it is, you know, you need to know God. Hmm. And God exists outside of technology. So you can have a relationship with him outside of all this stuff. Outside of entertainment, you can have a relationship with God and Facebook. We're going to go back and meet Mark Zuckerberg at the commencement speech he gave at Harvard University. And now he's going to break it down a little bit. In three aspects, he's going to say there's three ways to create this new world for everyone to have a purpose. And the reason why he's talking about everybody needs a purpose, because people find their purpose in their work and their jobs. And he's saying that's going to be all taken away from everybody. And listen to what he says. And he's going to talk about, you know, that a basic income for everyone, just give a stipend to everyone because they're not going to have jobs. Computers are going to do the work. Make sure you join us also in our next program, because we're going to continue on about artificial intelligence. But listen to what Mark Zuckerberg is saying. And listen, this thing is happening. Things we thought could never happen is actually happening. And it sounds good.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Be aware.
Take a look.
And today, I want to talk about three ways that we can create a world where everyone has a sense of purpose. By taking on big, meaningful projects together. By redefining equality so everyone has the freedom to pursue their purpose. And by building community all across the world. So first, let's take on big, meaningful projects. Our generation is going to have to deal with tens of millions of jobs replaced by automation like self-driving cars and trucks. But we have the potential to do so much more than that. Every generation has its defining works. More than 300,000 people worked to put that man on the moon, including that janitor. Millions of volunteers immunized children around the world against polio, and millions of more people built the Hoover Dam and other great projects. And now it's our generation's turn to do great things. Now, I know, maybe you're thinking, I don't know how to build a dam. I don't know how to get a million people involved in anything. Well, let me tell you a secret. No one does when they begin. Ideas don't come out fully formed. They only become clear as you work on them. You just have to get started. If I had to know everything about connecting people before I got started, I never would have built Facebook. Movies and pop culture just get this all wrong. The idea of a single eureka moment is a dangerous lie. It makes us feel inadequate because we feel like we haven't had ours yet. And it prevents people with seeds of good ideas from ever getting started in the first place. Oh, and you know what else movies get wrong about innovation? No one writes math formulas on glass, okay? All right, that's not a thing, okay? It's really good to be idealistic, but be prepared to be misunderstood. Anyone working on a big vision is going to get called crazy, even if you end up right. Anyone taking on a complex problem is going to get blamed for not fully understanding it, even though it's impossible to know everything up front. Anyone taking initiative will always get criticized for moving too fast because there's always someone who wants to slow you down. In our society, we often don't take on big things because we're so afraid of making mistakes that we ignore all the things wrong today if we do nothing. The reality is, anything we do today is going to have some issues in the future. But that can't stop us from getting started. So what are we waiting for? It is time for our generation-defining great works. How about stopping climate change before we destroy the planet and getting millions of people involved manufacturing and installing solar panels? How about curing all diseases and getting people involved by asking volunteers to share their health data, track their health data, and share their genomes? You know, today, our society spends more than 50 times as much treating people who are sick as we invest in finding cures so people don't get sick in the first place. It makes no sense. We can fix this. How about modernizing democracy so everyone can vote online? And how about personalizing education so everyone can learn? These achievements are all within our reach. Let's do them all in a way that gives everyone in our society a role. Let's do big things, not just to create progress, but to create purpose. So taking on big, meaningful projects together is the first thing we can do to create a world where everyone has a sense of purpose.
This is so important because he's being sincerely honest. Yeah. He's saying that, quote, you know, ideas don't come out fully formed. They only come clear as you work on them. You have to just get started. So that's how he founded Facebook, and he saw that kind of past. And now he's saying, let's just go global with this thing. You know, let's get on these big ideas of solving sickness, solving disease. We're going to go over Revelation chapter 13 before we end this program, yeah, so you can see how it lines up with all this.
Because we know how it's going to end prophetically.
Yeah. Yeah, and the beast comes out of the ground. By the way, when you say you're going to store stuff in the cloud, yeah, there isn't in the cloud. It's actually in a cave somewhere, you know, the hard drives
this
and all
utopia
that
just sounds, yeah, so, you know, amazing.
It's another utopia being promised. Yeah. And it's just, they don't know where it's going. He's saying, but Elon just told us, Elon Musk, he knows where it's going.
And you better be afraid of it.
Yeah, and it's happening quickly. And you got to get insight. You need to be afraid of it. You need to begin to regulate it. And if we don't regulate census worldwide, we'll lose America in the whole thing, you know, and many people will lose their soul to this whole thing. We're going to talk more about this and how he's talking about not only, you know, regards to the big idea, but he's also redefining equality, what that means, and also redefining community, I believe it is. This is the last one, building a worldwide community. But first, I've got this great offer for you. This is so important. When you find out what God's heart is towards his perspective towards the poor, it'll just open your heart to be a giver like never before, because God is looking for us to be able to respond to the poor. And if you're an American, if you're watching this and you're in America, listen, you're the top wealthiest folks in the world,
right,
which God expects something big from those whose big things have been entrusted, like the top 1% of the world, top 3% of the world in income. And so what are we doing with that? This message, I just want to give it to you for free. I want to sow this into your life, so you can sow into other people's lives. As a matter of fact, here is the detail right now for your partnership of any amount whatsoever. Listen up.
Offer 2037, God's perspective of the poor. Are Americans the kings of the world? I heard today on the news a Cuban businessman describing Americans as being the kings of the world. This message will explore that very notion as we consider God's perspective of the poor and how he expects us to relate to them. You'll discover that more than half of the world's population, 3.5 plus billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day, while America and the Americans are the wealthiest nation and people in the world. We'll discover how the Lord will look at our lives based on how we responded to the needs of those who are poor. This message will put your life, the lives of others, and eternal life into perspective as we learn that our eternal home will be determined by this very reality, by the words spoken by Jesus himself. This is a must watch while there is still time to be the light that the Lord has called us to be to all, and especially the poor. How we treat the less fortunate reveals who we are as a person, but also in Christ Jesus. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2037, God's perspective of the poor. Are Americans the kings of the world?
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
One of the differences between men and women is that we need some fundamentally different kinds of protection.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, Dr. Al Mohler reflects on protection in marriage.
Now, I know that chivalry is supposed to be dead, but not among God's people. We understand that a man is to protect a woman's honor, a woman's heart, a woman's reputation, her safety. Guys, that's our job. God gave it to us. Just read the Bible. There is a protective mission given to us in marriage, and it is our responsibility to fulfill it. But guys, it's very easy for us to say, hey, we are the protector. We don't need any protection. But there is a very important protection a woman gives a man in marriage, and that is the protection of his passions. Men desperately need a wife as protection for honor and for passion and for protection of integrity.
More insights from Dr. Al Mohler today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Andrei Sakharov gave to the Soviet Union the nuclear bomb, but he said shortly before he died that he always thought that the most powerful weapon in the world was the bomb. He said, I've changed my mind, and I have now concluded that the most powerful weapon in the world is the truth. When Jesus looks at the questioning man, Thomas, and says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, making that staggering, exclusive claim. And then standing before Pilate, he says to him, they that are of the truth, listen to me. So on the one hand, he was truth incarnate. On the other hand, he said that truthfulness of intent in the heart is prior to the content of revelation.
helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed our earlier part of our program, we are with Mark Zuckerberg at Harvard University speaking the commencement speech. He just gave it. And he's talking about just a whole new world, right?
It's like utopia.
Totally utopia. Utopia. But also Elon Musk is talking to the governors just this month, all the governors of America, saying, you don't understand this. The stuff that Mark Zuckerberg, we're paraphrasing, the stuff that Mark Zuckerberg is saying at Harvard.
Right.
And he's saying he doesn't understand it. I mean, he's saying, you don't know the answers. It's not fully formed. Just start and it will happen. But he's still going full ahead. And so not only that, they're talking about redefining equality. And even equality of pay, they're talking about, John, just paying everybody something, and you don't have to work.
A free income.
Yes.
Without any responsibility.
And that way you can be creative.
To solve the world's problems.
I think Hitler said that. And I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is Hitler. But I think he promised them some sort of utopia that he would take care of them, and it just doesn't work out. Because
and how many people in this generation, millennials, will not jump on that type of an offer?
No work.
Yeah, and just money? Plan whatever you want to do.
Do you think, I don't know, do you think they would jump on that?
Yes.
but they're selling their soul to that.
Well,
that
sharing your health data. The buy-in was, let's get everyone's health data.
So because right now you're protected, that they have the HIPAA Act where...
HIPAA law, right.
HIPAA law that says that they cannot share your data. And he's saying,
your health information.
Give all your information over about your health, and they'll put it in this computer, and artificial intelligence will heal you.
Because he was talking about, we got to give people a purpose. Yes. Give them a purpose. So now let's solve this world
problem. The reason
why
is the purpose is because they said that we're going to take everybody's job from them. Yeah. Robots will take their jobs. And so artificial intelligence will take our jobs. And we'll hear tomorrow how Elon Musk says computers, artificial intelligence even hesitates, but he's basically saying he's smarter than him.
I mean, reports are they were at most 5 years away from driverless cars.
Yes.
And so it just opens up.
A lot of stuff's happening even right now where they're gathering it. It's just us being willing to go, here, take my soul, I think, what I want, what I feel, right?
Yeah.
Your soul. Well, that's all that information on you. They're building and finding it. And it's we got so much we want to cover. First, just look at this is Mark Zuckerberg again at Harvard University, which he dropped out of, but he was successful. You go to school to learn how to do something. He did it well building Facebook. And he's talking about now not only getting a big idea like solving all sickness and solving global warming as if the sun wasn't hot when he was born. You know, it's still hot. It's going to be hot when he's gone. But either way, he's talking about redefining equality. And this is when he talks about, you know, paying everybody something no matter if they work or not. Take a look.
So taking on big, meaningful projects together is the first thing we can do to create a world where everyone has a sense of purpose. The second is redefining our idea of equality so everyone has the freedom to pursue their purpose. Now, many of our parents had stable jobs throughout their careers, but in our generation, we're all a little entrepreneurial, whether we're starting our own projects or finding our role in another one. And, you know, that's great. Because our culture of entrepreneurship is how we create so much progress. An entrepreneurial culture thrives when it is easy to try lots of new ideas. Facebook wasn't the first thing I built. I also built chat systems and games, study tools and music players, and I'm not alone. J.K. Rowling got rejected 12 times before she finally wrote and published Harry Potter. Even Beyoncé had to make hundreds of songs to get Halo. The greatest successes come from having the freedom to fail. Now, today, we have a level of wealth inequality that hurts everyone. When you don't have the freedom to take your idea and turn it into a historic enterprise, we all lose. And right now, today, our society is way over-indexed on rewarding people when they're successful, and we don't do nearly enough to make sure that everyone can take lots of different shots. Now, let's face it. There is something wrong with our system when I can leave here and make billions of dollars in 10 years while millions of students can't even afford to pay off their loans, let alone start a business. Look, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and I don't know a single person who gave up on starting a business because they were worried they might not make enough money. But I know too many people who haven't had the chance to pursue their dreams because they didn't have a cushion to fall back on if they failed. We all know you don't get successful just by having a good idea or working hard. You get successful by being lucky, too. If I had to support my family growing up instead of having the time to learn how to code, if I didn't know that I was going to be fine if Facebook didn't work out, then I wouldn't be standing up here today. And if we're honest, we all know how much luck we've had to get to this point in our lives. Every generation expands its definition of equality. Previous generations fought for the vote and civil rights. They had the New Deal and Great Society. And now it's time for our generation to define a new social contract. We should have a society that measures progress, not just by economic metrics like GDP, but by how many of us have a role we find meaningful. We should explore ideas like universal basic income to make sure that everyone has a cushion to try new ideas. We're all going to change jobs and roles many times, so we need affordable childcare to get to work and healthcare that's not tied to just one employer. And we're all going to make mistakes, so we need a society that's less focused on locking us up and stigmatizing us when we do. And as our technology keeps on evolving, we need a society that is more focused on providing continuous education through our lives. And yes, giving everyone the freedom to pursue purpose isn't going to be free. People like me should pay for it. And a lot of you are going to do really well, and you should too. That is why Priscilla and I started the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative and committed our wealth to promoting equal opportunity. These are the values of our whole generation. It was never a question of if we were going to do this. The only question was when. Millennials are already one of the most charitable generations in history. In just 1 year, more than 3 in 4 U.S. millennials donated to charity, and more than 7 in 10 raised money for another one. But it's not just about giving money. You can also give time. And I promise you, if you just take an hour or two a week, that's all it takes to give someone a hand and help them reach their potential. Now, maybe you're thinking, that's a lot of time. I'm not sure if I have that much time. I used to think that.
So you're looking at a universal income where, you know, slavery is a tax rate.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody taxes you 100%, you're 100% a slave. Mm-hmm. If they tax you at 90%, you're 90% a slave. If they tax you at 60%, you're 60% a slave. If you don't think so, don't pay that 60% or that 90%, you know, and these systems are talking about is give me all your money, all your labor, all your toil, all your purpose. We'll create another purpose for you. we'll build a community and we'll just give you a little bit of something to live on. I don't know, some bread and some water, a little, you know.
Entertainment package.
Entertainment package. That happens in Saudi Arabia. When they start rising up in Saudi Arabia, they just give them
more stuff.
A big screen television or something
Only
like that.
Only 8 million people in that population work in Saudi Arabia.
That is amazing.
The rest are taken care of.
So that's happening right now. Let's finish up. We're going to go right there. This last part of his speech is so important because it's setting the you're seeing your own eye, before your very own eyes, Revelation chapter 13, be established right before you, which is talking about this end time. It's all about the economy. It's all about the one world community. And it's being established by a young little 30-something-year-old, you know, smart man, and done some things. He admits he doesn't know. He says, let's just go for it, you know, and it'll unfold as it happens. Now he's talking about to build communities. We got to get, we've 25% decline in communities, including the church he talks about. So we got to begin to rebuild those things now. As a matter of fact, let's go. This is the last part of the commencement speech of Martin Zuckerberg, where he's talking to the future leaders at Harvard, saying, listen, we need to think globally. And when you have global community, and it sure sounds like Revelation 13. Check it out.
Purpose doesn't only come from work. The third way we can create a sense of purpose for everyone is by building community. And in our generation, when we say purpose for everyone, we mean everyone in the world. Now, quick show of hands. How many of you here are from another country? All right, now keep your hands up. How many of you are friends with one of these folks? Now we're talking. See, we have grown up connected. In a recent survey of millennials around the world, asking what most defines our identity, the most popular answer wasn't nationality, ethnicity, or religion. It was citizen of the world. That's a big deal. Every generation expands the circle of people we consider one of us. And in our generation, that now includes the whole world. We understand that the great arc of human history bends towards people coming together in ever greater numbers, from tribes to cities to nations, to achieve things that we could not on our own. We get that our greatest opportunities are now global. We can be the generation that ends poverty, that ends disease. And we get that our greatest challenges need global responses too. No country can fight climate change alone or prevent pandemics. Progress now requires coming together, not just as cities or nations, but also as a global community. But we live in an unstable time. There are people left behind by globalization across the whole world. And it's tough to care about people in other places when we don't first feel good about our lives here at home. There's pressure to turn inwards. This is the struggle of our time. The forces of freedom, openness, and global community against the forces of authoritarianism, isolationism, and nationalism. Forces for the flow of knowledge, trade, and immigration against those who would slow them down. This is not a battle of nations. It is a battle of ideas. There are people in every country for more global connection, and there are good people against it. And this isn't going to be decided at the UN either. It's going to happen at the local level when enough of us feel a sense of purpose and stability in our own lives that we can start to open up and care about everyone else too. And the best way to do that is to start building local communities right now. We all get a lot of meaning from our communities. Who here's from Elliott House? How about Lowell? Yeah. I know you guys found community because you literally live right on top of each other. And Mather? Yeah. I'll just leave that there. Whether our communities are houses or sports teams, churches or a cappella groups, they give us that sense that we're a part of something bigger, that we are not alone. They give us the strength to expand our horizons. And that's why it's so striking that over the past few decades, membership in all kinds of communities has declined by as much as one quarter. That's a lot of people who now need to find a sense of purpose somewhere else. But I know that we can rebuild these communities and start new ones because many of you already are.
So you're looking at building global communities, citizen of the world, and economy, and he's talking about the church, his community's declining, and the answer is not Facebook, technology, Zuckerberg. It's Jesus Christ and building community again. But first, let's look at Revelations chapter 13, which is prophecy of Revelation of Christ, the prophecy of what's going to be taking place. And he describes this global community. As a matter of fact, let's John, if you picked it up, this is Revelation 13, verse 5 through 10.
The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven.
So 42 months is half of 7 years. Okay.
Yeah. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them.
Hold on a minute. So if it wages war against God's holy people, that means God's holy people has to be there to wage war against, right?
That's right. That's right.
Wow, that just shakes some theology there, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Okay, go ahead.
And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb was slain from the creation of the world.
So then they're literally taking over all these different tribes and nations, and it looks like they're talking about doing. We need to come together,
this global
community. And begin to organize now at the grassroots level, which is really Saul Alinsky.
That's right. And digital.
On steroids. Okay.
Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patience and endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Revelation 13.
So you're looking at this organization taking place, and so it's, you know, the Lord showed me very specifically this, all this data gathering is literally a beast market.
Oh, that's
and
right.
It's an economy, and we'll make that available to you. We can't go over it now, but go ahead and read Revelations 13, 11 through 18. Now we're talking about this economy being set up.
The beast out of the earth. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, and it made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of God's people.
Mark Zuckerberg is saying, hey, let's just share all of our health history,
yeah,
and you lose the computers to begin to heal everybody of these diseases.
That's
why don't
right.
we get away for people to get sick? Let's just go ahead.
Let's heal them now.
Heal them now. Let's cure the disease now. Okay.
Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth.
How many people, once the computer does it for them, they don't even think about it anymore?
It's
maps
done.
Or,
oh, sure.
or whatever's going on. So when that computer begins to do all that, which
it
is
becomes
doing
it real.
Now, yeah, and they just kind of turn everything over to it. Okay.
It ordered them to set up an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed.
It sounds like, call, you know, why did God call it a person versus, hey, this machine is talking now.
Yeah, an image.
It's an image. Okay, go ahead.
It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark.
Which is the economy. You
yeah.
can't. It's all about business. It's all about money. So you can't even buy or sell the exchange without that particular system that's set up, and it's being set up right before our very eyes. Okay.
Which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666.
It's so important for... We don't need Mark Zuckerberg to organize the church. We got to return to community.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to close this program out, but I want to tell you, you can no longer play church. You have to get rightly related to God. You got to begin to abide with God. You got to begin to hear his voice. You got to hang out with people who hang out with God, because we're supposed to have community no matter what's taking place in the world. But right now, we've gotten away with not having community, and it's no longer going to be acceptable. You know, we want to survive. You're going to need to come together with the church. And I would encourage you, if you haven't yet found one, you know, go to the VFN Dream Center, VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Maybe that's for you. If you haven't begun to abide with Jesus, we've got a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you for our audience. I thank you right now for the ones that are watching listening, God, that you would encourage them. All this is nothing but you prophesied about and said it would come, and here it is. Lord, we pray and bless Mark Zuckerberg, God, a young man, Lord God. We pray that you would give him eyes to see, to be able to see what's really going on, Father God. And we thank you for Elon Musk and how he's declaring, you know, we got to pay attention to this, God. We pray for his soul as well to be saved, God. We pray for our audience, God, that they would turn away from man's things and turn to you, Father God. That we lift up our eyes and look and know that our redemption is drawing nigh, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, that though this thing is coming, God, you got great plans in store for your people, the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. And I pray right now for each and every one that's been hungry to get involved in the kingdom of God and activate it, God, that you would draw them to yourself, God, and pull them in, train them in, and launch them out, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.